We are studying in the book of Romans, and we're going to go to chapter 12 again. Last week, we kind of hurriedly went through part of it, and we're going to go ahead and talk about some more things that Apostle Paul wants us to know. And I know that many of you have already studied this book many times, but we're going to look at that again in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Glory to God. This chapter, we can call it the practical side of the gospel, which means that we get word in this chapter and other chapters that show us the way to walk with God, yield our life to God, and what God wants from us. And that's why that title is put there. It's a practical side. In other words, sometimes people know the Bible says something, but it isn't applied. And so when we apply it to our lives and walk with God, then it's a great blessing to us, and it's a great blessing to God, too, and the Lord Jesus. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read a little bit, and we've studied the first part, so we're just going to read a little bit, starting with verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's the work of the Lord in our life. He wants us to accept the word of God and live a living sacrifice for God. We give our life to the Lord and let him govern our life. And it's such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to walk with God. It's a wonderful thing. And so that's what that's talking about. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't be molded to the ways of the world, but be you transformed. You know that word is actually metamorphosis. Is what it is in the original. The metamorphosis, and all of you know what that is. It's that worm that could be a butterfly, but yet it goes into a cocoon, and after a while, it opens that cocoon up, and out comes a big worm type thing, or a caterpillar, or something like that. And so that's what the Lord wants to happen in our life, that we will be transformed, we will be changed, we will be metamorphosed into a different, yielded Christian, a person who's walking with God and letting God have his number one, to be number one in our lives. Isn't that beautiful? And he says, renewing of your mind. Yes, our minds get all bottled up, don't we? Because we see so much and we hear so much, and there's so much junk going on all the time in this world. But yet, as we yield our lives to the Lord and we read the Word of God and we hear the Word of God, that can take place in our life. Praise the Lord. Not just our conforming, but transforming, which is the power of God working in our lives, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And God's will is all of that. It's good and it's acceptable, and it is the perfect will of God. I don't believe there's partial will of God. You know, sometimes people think that. They think, well, I'm kind of yielding to God a little bit. That should please God. But what he wants us to do is to give it all. Let God be totally in our lives, in the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given to me, that's what Apostle Paul was. And this grace of God is what enables us to keep on going on with God and walking with God. To every man that is among you, every woman too, not to think of himself or herself more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every single person in this world that loves the Lord Jesus as their Savior has been given different multiples of faith. Where does faith come from? We know from another scripture, don't we? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we hear of the Word of God, the more we're going to have faith. The more that faith is going to become a part of us. When you've been with the Lord a long, long time in your life, you know, I've told you before, my dad was a minister. He left us when I was about 8 years old and became a person that wasn't walking with God. It was really extremely hard. But God saw me. He saw me. And he helped me get through this because my mother was so disturbed and she cried and cried and just went on. And you know, I'd been married a long time and had 5 kids, you know. And it was a hard trial. But the Lord, one night, as I've told you before, one night the Lord said to me, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I just couldn't wait until the next day that I could tell my mother. And she was at the kitchen. And of course, she's broken, you know. But I went up to her and I put my arm in her arm and I said, Mom, the scripture says all things work together for good. And she stamped her foot at me and said, don't tell me that. It doesn't work. But my mother loved the Lord. She was the one that read the scripture to us every day and prayed with us every day, you know. But, oh, how precious it was. Not very long after that, when she realized what God had done for her, and she came in from her job and she told me, we're moving to Kansas City. We lived in Houston, Texas. There was no Grace meeting anymore because Daddy had left, so there wasn't any meeting for us to go to, and we'd have prayer in our house. But when she said that, she said, I'm going to Kansas City. I'm going to go to Bible school. And oh my goodness, it was glorious to me. I was 13 by then. I had no young people that loved the Lord, nobody to fellowship with. And I went up there, and oh my goodness, they had this crowd of young people, you know. Just all kinds of students that were in the Bible school, but plus the young people that were growing up in the meeting. Oh my, what a great thing that was for me. The Lord just delivered me. He brought me through that because I didn't see my dad again for a long, long time. But I do have good news, and I've told you before. Right before my dad died, he went as a missionary. He got himself all back with the Lord, yielding to God, walking with the Lord. And he went as a missionary to Mexico. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Many people saved, many people healed of miraculous things. And then he came out and he came to see us and he said, I'm going to the Philippines to minister now. And I've sold my house and I've done everything. I'm sending the money ahead and all the equipment. And you know, my dad didn't get but to Tucson, Arizona. He got there, and he died in my brother's house that night. He was only 67 years old. I loved him dearly. I looked like him. I had dark hair and brown eyes like him. But it was just one of those things in life, you know, that I'm so thankful to the Lord that he gave his life completely to the Lord in surrender as he died there in that place where my brother was a minister also. So anyway, I don't know why I told you that again, but it's just so wonderful to see what God can do in our life. You know, we think we can't go on. We think it's too terrible, and especially when you're a child, and it means so much to you when your parents love the Lord and really stand for the Word of God. My mother did, and I'm thankful to that. So we're going to read on here in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And that is so true in our assembly here. We don't all have the same job. There's different callings of God that he has in every group of people. And we want to, what our thoughts should be is, what does God want me to do? What does he want me to do? Is there something he wants me to be doing? See, and he will let us know. He'll let us know just exactly what he wants from our life. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. This word grace here has a meaning of enabling, to give ability. So we know about the grace of God, don't we? We're so thankful we have the grace of God that we don't have to try to be good. We just let the Lord have control of us, and his grace is manifest to us, his love and his mercy and all of those things. But praise the Lord that he gives us enabling and ability. Praise the Lord. And whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, prophesying is not necessarily like I'm a prophet and I'm up here, I'm telling you things that are going to happen that nobody's heard of or something like that. But as we yield our lives to the Lord, there are gifts that God gives to people. And it's an enabling that he gives to us, that we are able to expound or to tell what the future is going to be. I think of prophecy as being something about the future. But we know that the Lord is going to come, that's in the future, and he is wanting us to walk with him and yield to him and be ready for the coming of Jesus. It's going to take place at any time. We may not have too much more time, and I hope and pray that we don't have much more time. Oh, I would love to see Jesus come in the clouds, wouldn't you? Oh, hallelujah. So notice he says, and prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Okay, does God give proportions? Yes, he does. He calls us to a certain thing that he wants us to do in the body of Christ. And then he gives us that power. He gives us that portion of faith that will give us strength to do exactly what he asks us to do. Whatever it is, he's a miracle God. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. And it says our ministry. Ministry has a lot of different things to think about. You know, you can have the ministry of teaching Sunday school. You could have the ministry of sitting in the chair, in the seat here, and being here faithfully and you know, supporting the ministry and all those things with prayer and everything. It's just so wonderful to just have that ministry. But he says, let us wait. Let us wait. And in the original, it says, let us hope and have expectation on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Whatever it is that God has called us to do, let's do that with all of our heart. And let's ask him to give us the strength to do it. And you know what? That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want us to do things in our own strength. He wants us to do things in his strength. And as we do that, we're going to really bless the Lord. It'll be a great thing. And he that exhorteth, or on exhortation. I knew an older man one time that was quite an exhorter. I don't think I ever saw him in my life. He was a friend of my family, and he loved the Lord God, but I'm telling you, he could exhort more than any man I ever was around. He would, when I was just a child, he would tell me what I should do spiritually. He was just really, you know, an exhorter. And that's what some people are. They have that great gift, and it's a wonderful thing to hear. I remember one time he told me, when I was only about, oh, maybe 10 years old, he told me that I was called to preach. And at that point in my life, I didn't think I was at all, you know. So anyway, God has mysterious ways of doing. And notice, he that giveth. Now, giving is also a gift from God. Some people don't give, but God wants us to give. He wants us to give. And that's part of my life. I give. That's the way we do. We give whatever God has given to us. We make sure that that is used for the Lord also. He says, let him do it with simplicity. And that word in the Greek means copious. You know what that means? It means really a lot of it. With sincerity and with generation. So you can look up these words. I like looking up words, as you can see, but you can look them up. There are books that tell us these things. And so just look up the words. And then how about a person that ruleth? Now, what would he rule over, or what would she rule over? Well, a minister has to rule over the group. A teacher has to rule over the group that they're teaching. A Sunday school teacher has to be a person that is ruling. There's all different kinds of ruling. But one of these days, where are we going to be ruling? In heaven with the Lord. One of these days, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord ruling. Hopefully. That's what he wants us to be ready for. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be ruling with Christ one of these. And then how about diligence? You know, diligence is a good word. Some people are just diligent, aren't they? I mean, they just do everything. They're just work, 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 work. And it is a good trait to try to feel in yourself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to do, Lord? What is it that you want me to be diligent about? One good thing to be diligent about is to be in the meetings. Hear the word of God as often as you can, because that's what's going to be your food, that's going to teach you the word of God and get you established in the truth of the word of God, is to be here and hear it and see what happens. And so be diligent. And how about showing mercy? I won't ask you to raise your hand if you're a person that shows mercy. I hope that all of us realize how much mercy we need to be showing to other people. You know, you can get awfully aggravated with the world. And I know from a lot of times I've worked in public, a lot of different times, I've had good treatment, I've had bad treatment. And it's hard sometimes to be around people where we just don't feel like showing any mercy to them, do we? But if we have Christ in our life, in our heart, there should be some characteristics come out of our life that are really showing forth Jesus, what Jesus means to us. And one of them, just think of Jesus and his mercy. You think we can be merciful just like Jesus? We sure can't in ourselves, can we? But as we yield our life to Christ and we ask him to help us in this, let me show love, Jesus. Let me show mercy. He will give us that kind of attitude, and he will help us to do it. And notice what Paul says, with cheerfulness. Sometimes we do something for somebody, but then they're naughty about it, aren't they? And they just don't do what we want them to do. And we think we have the right to tell them what to do, too. Is that how you act? It doesn't work. But we learn to be cheerful in whatever takes place. Let the Lord give us that attitude. And then he says, let love be without dissimulation. What does that word mean? Dissimulation. It means hypocrisy. Don't let it be hypocrisy. Don't say, I really love that person, but I can't stand them, you know. Or, I really care for all the people of God. See, that sounds good, doesn't it? But then sometimes we have a bitter attitude towards someone, and that's not right before God. We are to love one another because Christ loves us. There should not be any hypocrisy, that acting like I'm spiritual. I want to act like I'm spiritual. That doesn't work. It has to be Christ yielded to in our life and manifesting in our life that we love other people, that we care about other people. We care for their needs. We pray for them when they are sick and when they have problems. And notice what he says, abhor that which is evil. Hate it. Hate it, anything that is evil. It's worldly. It's gone. Oh, my goodness. Isn't the world a mess right now? The United States is a mess. Oh, my goodness. It just is awful. And we, as Christians, we don't want to be evil. We don't want to let the devil govern our life. But he says, cleave to that which is good. Two words, abhor and cleave. They're just wonderful, aren't they? abhor that which is evil, but cleave to that which is good. Get a hold of it by faith and listen to it and let it be part of our life. Let it be right here in our being. And this is how I'm going to live. I'm going to live in this godly way. I'm going to be a spiritual person, not a carnal person. Praise the Lord. How beautiful that is. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Praise the Lord. That word brotherly love there means affectionate toward others. Be affectionate toward others. We should love one another. I've been in churches where there was a great conflict and where people did not show love. And it's horrible. I'm so thankful for our group that we show love to one another. We love one another because that's what the scripture says. And we have Christ in our life. And what should come out of this Christ life is love. Just like Jesus. He would never cast us and knock at us and lie about us and all that stuff that people do. Thank God, not here. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Because it's terrible in an assembly where there's undermining and stuff like that. And it's very hard. But praise the Lord that he has given us this. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. We have the greatest hope that there is. I believe Jesus is going to come very soon. One of the things that convinces me of that is the condition of the United States, allowing all these people to come in, and there are many of them committing terrible crimes, but our government is just letting them all come in, and it's creating a very terrible sick system in this United States, and I believe that Jesus is going to come very soon. Praise the Lord. So he says, rejoice in hope. And patient in tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer. Continuing. What do I do when I feel so down or so in problem? I immediately call upon the Lord to help me. That should be what every single one of us do, is cry out to the Lord for help. And he is so faithful. He will be right on the scene. He always is. He's right with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to try to do this whole chapter because there's a lot to it, but I'm going to go ahead and read verse 13. It says, distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. It means, when it says distributing to the necessity of the saints, saints are people of God, people that love Jesus. And so we as believers are to be very careful when we see people in need, that we be willing to give, that we be willing to take care of them. And I find that it's great joy in my heart to do that. It's an important thing for us. I'm dealing right now with some people that don't have a spouse, that have hard times, that just this last week or two happened some very sincere, very, very severe problems that this individual had. And I want to help. I want to help them. I want to bless them and meet the needs for them. So it says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. If you feel that way and you know somebody that could share, you could share with, do that, because it's such a blessing. It's a blessing to them, their children. It's a blessing to God. It's just a blessing all around. Just be, let God show you, because it's a beautiful thing. And it says, distribute to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. Given to it, just accept it. He says, bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. How about that? That's pretty hard. When they curse you, when they are against you, it's pretty hard to say, God bless you, brother or sister. I'm praying for you and really mean it. Don't you agree? Yes. I know you do, because we've all been through those situations where there was some terrible persecution and curse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We've got a lot of work to do here. You ever thought about that, what God may want you to do for someone else? Call them up on the phone. Say, I've been praying for you today. Are you doing all right? Like our sister, Larice. My goodness, it just seemed like when she got in the hospital with her knee, she had a big old rupture right here. They got that one done. All of a sudden, her leg right in her knee was swelled up and was discharging terrible stuff. And all, she really needs our prayers. She needs our love. She's now in Kansas rehab thing. But goodness, it's lasting much longer than when we even thought. So we need to remember those that have great things happening and rejoice with them, but weep with those that weep. Be willing to share a load. That's what I think that characteristic means there. Be willing to hold up the armor of God. Be willing to do whatever you can. Be of the same mind one toward another. What does that mean, the same mind? It means unity. Unity. In other words, you and I believing, all of us believing the same truth. It makes us stronger. It makes us more able. We know what the word is. We know what the truth is. We teach it. And we lay hold of it. And we live it. And we know how great God is, how he's there with us. He's always taking care of us. He cares about us. He cares about each one of you separately. He's so good. Isn't it a wonderful thing? So praise the Lord. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind. Be in unity with one another, toward another. Mind not the high things. Have you ever been around people that had a lot of high things in their life? They're very great braggarts, usually, because they like to tell everything that they have done, you know, and have everybody say, oh, what a perfect person that is. Oh, how great they are. So anyway, he says, mind not high things. Don't worry about it. But condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Condescend to men of low estate. Somebody's kind of, you know, not too nice and don't want to be around them. They even smell bad, you know. So I don't want to be around them. I'm going to tell you a story again. I think I'm going to kind of make it short because when I was just a small child, my dad held a street meeting every Saturday night in Oklahoma City. Right in the terrible part of town where just all kinds of people. And we would pull the car into two spaces of right in front of a big old joint. And my job was to pass out tracts because I was only about 7 years old. My little brother was only about 4, so he helped pass out tracts too. But the rest of my family all played instruments. And so they would start playing their instruments. And Daddy would preach, and you know, they were bad people. They were awful people. They were drunk. They were barely able to walk past. And a lot of people up above in the apartments were raising their hands, sticking their hands way out and saying, pray for me, pray for me. I'll never forget this because it was so touching to me to see how badly people need the Lord. And even some of them came down and knelt in the gutter, and the gutter was dirty, but they knelt right down in the gutter and asked for salvation and prayed for salvation. I'll never forget that because it was so precious. So, you know, we never know who we're going to come together with or what they might need in the way of the Lord. But, boy, it's so wonderful to just be a witness and let your love, let the love of Jesus that is in your heart shine out to other people because he loves them. He loves them. He wants us to love them too. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I guess I'm going to read the rest of this chapter because I've got seven more minutes. Number 17, recompense to no man evil to evil. Provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Is that what I want to do, heaping coals of fire on somebody's head? I don't think I want to do that. I hope that if I say it or do anything, that it causes a person to know that they need Jesus and need to change their life, you know. But anyway, in verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And we live in an evil society, and it is worse than it ever has been. And you and I and all of us, we need to be very careful that we don't get into that evil type of people that is around us that just want everything in their sinfulness and everything. It's just a very, very difficult and very hard time. So I'm going to stop right there.